Which just goes to show you how crappy John Elway's quarterback is. Welcome to episode 44 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am what I am, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I have things that I will not share with you.
My name's Jason Lamb. I'm the resident Canadian, and today is the most glorious of days. It is the beginning of our annual Steam Summer Sale.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Hotline Miami is, I think it's $250. Go buy it. Just buy it. Ignore Hunter about to say that it's not as good as the hype because it's super good. I can't wait for the sequel.
All I'm saying is you might want to read my review first. That's all I'm saying.
And then read mine.
Just check out mine.
You're going to balance.
It's a little bit less biased than Bailey's is.
Bias? What bias can I have? No. It's an amazing game. I have no reason to be... Do you know what bias means, Hunter? Do you know what this word is you keep using?
I only used it once, but yes, I do know what bias means.
Fair enough.
I don't think you know.
I can't count. I can't.
That word that you mean. I don't think you...
Yeah.
Damn. They set us up the bomb.
your base. Boom.
I bought something, I think... Hunter, of all people, will be a little proud of. Or confused.
I'm a lot of things.
I'm
proud
curious.
And confused.
I bought the Sonic Hits collection.
Oh, cool.
It's 15 Sonic games for $15.
That's not bad.
That's a lot of Sonic.
That's a ton of
Did
Sonic.
Did you get that on Steam?
Yeah.
Really?
Sonic. It's a mix of old and new ones. You got, like, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
What?
Oh, such a good, that's
Sonic
a good
3
one.
And Knuckles. Then you got new ones like Sonic Generations and the two new episodes of Sonic the Hedgehog.
You said Sonic
Hits. Ooh, Sonic CD. Yeah. It's got Sonic
Collection.
CD on it.
Sonic
when did that come
Adventure
out on Steam?
2. When?
Yeah.
It's been out for a while.
Like forever? Like years? And I've just been...
They keep adding to it over time.
Oh, it's one of those.
But just search Sonic Hits Collection. For some reason, it won't come up in my Steam client. I had to Google it to buy it.
All right.
Sega doesn't want you to know what's going on.
Yeah.
We're Nintendo exclusive now.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. There's a lot of really good games on here.
Yeah.
Sonic 3D Blast is really good. Sonic Adventure 2 is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $15, why not?
Yeah, that's definitely getting several hours of enjoyment out of it, even if you give each of them just a fair try.
Yeah.
Well, I already have most of these games in their original physical form.
But Hunter, physical media is a dying, obsolete phenomenon.
It is. Physical media
is going out the window and into the garbage, from what I hear.
Well, then I am obsolete and being thrown out with said garbage as well.
Me too, my friend.
Sorry, guys.
Sad.
Sad. Have you guys been playing any of these games lately, though?
Jason has.
I have. I've been playing, like, games. I played all the way through Half-Life 2 again last week.
No, food games.
Ah, I love food games.
No, air games.
Like air hockey?
Yes, air hockey.
Yeah, I played all the way through Half-Life 2 again last week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just all the way through. Just
all the way through.
And I'm still stuck at that one part I've been stuck at for months that makes me so frustrated I can't go back
damn it, Hunter's playing it.
Oh, he is?
All right. Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I just got
just
it yesterday.
Started.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'm going to give Bailey a hint without giving anything away.
Okay.
In the place you are stuck, you take several things out of these closets. Do you know what I'm referring to?
No idea, but it's probably a good sign. I'll find the closets.
Okay, you use them to defend yourself.
Against the thing that's bothering me right now.
Yeah, if it's the spot I think you're stuck at.
Okay.
Stay in that room and just hide in a closet.
It's not really a room and there are no closets, but I'm going to look for them real hard for you.
All right. I think you're stuck somewhere else then. Never mind.
Wow.
That's okay.
And that's 30 seconds of my life I will never get back.
Yep. Hope you enjoyed.
Well, that was for you, Hunter. I wonder at what point you will reach when you give up.
I already reached that point.
Oh, you're not going to go back to it at all?
Oh, no. I'm going back. I beat the part that I got stuck at, but I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm done. I'm done. I don't know what's going on. And then, like, I was upstairs, like, watching TV and drinking some coffee, and I was like, damn it, I forgot about... I know what I gotta do. Ran back downstairs and...
Aren't those the best gaming moments when you just take a little bit of time away from your game, you're a little frustrated, you're eating some cereal, or you're taking a shower, and you're like, oh my gosh, I know what to do! Those are good moments.
Yes, those are good. Those
Fridge
are good.
Logic. A wonderful thing. Because, the worst is, if you have to go to the FAQ, then you know something's really wrong.
Oh, no, I'd just give up before then.
Yeah, because hopefully, the game should be designed well enough. You should be able to figure it out. I hate those games where it's like, nobody would have ever thought to do that.
Yeah, like a lot of NES games.
Mylan's Secret Castle, Dragon's Lair, arguably Legend of Zelda. Mm-hmm.
Dracula's Curse.
Oh, good one. Yeah, there are a lot. Yeah, that's true. Rygar.
Oh, yeah, Rygar's definitely... Speaking of Legend of Zelda, I have been playing Legend of Zelda.
Always a good decision.
Yeah, I wrote a piece for the official VGHC.com.
Nice. We like them.
And I was happy to play. I would die not to play Legend of Zelda. So, I was really taken back by the I just saw the image of the beta version of Legend of Zelda, where you had the choice between the boomerang and the sword.
Really? Hmm.
Never seen that before. So it got me thinking, to the point where I couldn't sleep until about 3 o'clock that night.
Wow.
Because I was trying to figure out why and how they were going to do it. So I started playing through the game just regularly. And I started keeping track of things. So the first item that you get by collecting it is the bow in the first dungeon. But you can't get arrows until you purchase them. They just don't randomly show up on the ground. Other than that, and the bomb, which sometimes shows up if you're running around enough, are your only means of attack if you go for the boomerang.
Okay.
Now, the boomerang is the only weapon in the game that I'm aware of that appears after killing a certain amount of enemies. Every other item in the game, you have to go down in the dungeon, and it's kind of chilling there with the keys. So it makes me feel, because Dungeon 1 is the only dungeon that has two weapons, the bow and the boomerang. Mm-hmm. And then in Dungeon 2, you get the magic boomerang. Again, not in a dungeon, it's just kind of chilling there kill so many of the guys, the whatever they are. I'm trying to figure out how long did they keep that aspect in the game? Was it kind of like a last minute thing? And they're like, okay, well, if we're going to take it out, then we'll just throw it somewhere. So maybe you were supposed to get the magic boomerang somewhere else, because you can kill keys and the gels with a boomerang.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a weapon.
That's an interesting point, because it would be, of all the ways to implement it later in the design process, that's one of the ways they would have to do it. It would seem like, almost was like, let's just, you kill a certain number of keys, there it is. My question is, if someone were to pick the boomerang, where would the sword appear?
Or if at all.
Yeah.
Because the way that the game is designed, you can beat the first dungeon and collect 2 hearts without any special weapons in the overworld and pick and be able to get the white sword by having 6 hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible to get the second level sword after the first dungeon. Now, you have to search for it. You have to go looking for it. Obviously, you can practically play the whole game with just the wooden sword. But you can also use the wand after you get the wand, which I think is level 5 or 6. Dungeon 5 or 6. You can get the wand. That could be your main means of attack. But the thing that really bothered me was, if they would have stuck that, if they would have kept that in there, how much different would have the series been? Would they would have kept it? You know, like the Ocarina of Time came, and they're like, okay, maybe it's random now. Maybe it's the sword and a hookshot, or the sword and a shovel, or, you know, it's that maybe that was their way of creating a master quest without having to create a brand new game.
He enters the hallowed hall of the Temple of Time, extends his young arm toward the stone, and pulls out the Master Boomerang.
And see, that's another thing, too. Ocarina of Time was the first Zelda that the boomerang would actually kill, like, kill practically everything.
Yeah.
Whereas before, it was mainly a defensive weapon and it would stun things.
And it just kept getting stronger. You could start, like, tracking enemies and hitting, like, 8 or 10 of them at a time. Well, usually
because
2 or 3.
And even the translation on the screen, it says, choose your favorite weapon. Mm. It wasn't just, you know, take this, you know, it's dangerous out there. So it was kind of like a, so what do you want to do? Like, if you know how to play this game, this is going to be the hard way to do it. You know, choose the boomerang.
That's interesting stuff there, Hunter.
Yeah.
Man.
Couldn't sleep, man. Like, my mind was just like, it could have been so much different. It could have been more puzzle animated, and there could have been this, and there could have been that. And
now someone just needs to do a ROM hack.
Ah, so, okay. Nuts, what was it called? I had spoken about this before, where you can actually make your own Zelda levels.
Mm.
You make your own Classic Zelda, I think is what it's called. Hold on.
Classic Zelda. Yeah, it was a program that would remap. Yeah.
So, but one of the cool things about Classic Zelda, which is at classiczelda.com, if anybody was wanting to know, the game comes with the first and second quest already completed within the programming language of the game. So you can literally just go into the first cave and then just put the boomerang there. And you could play it maybe how it was supposed to be played. Like, you might have to change some doors from being locked to unlocked.
Well, maybe. Only one way to
But I don't think, from my understanding, nobody's tried this yet. And I think this is something that, because this is a whole new spin on Zelda in a whole.
Yeah, that would have had a profound impact. I mean, just cutting out the importance of the sword and making that not such a big deal. I mean, considering how significant it is on the rest of the canon, that's just an interesting paradigm shift.
Yeah, it could have been like Castlevania, like with the whip. It could have been the boomerang was the master sword. You know what I mean?
Or even like Link is no longer thought of as needing the master sword to defeat great evil, but instead he's looked up to because he's such a resourceful guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I was gone for days, man. Like, I'd be driving, like, or it could have been like this.
I'm working on my Zelda
they
theories.
Did this. Why would they do this? And see, that was the thing. It came up with the cutting room floor got a hold of a prototype, the beta. Mm-hmm. And then they asked Iwata about it, and he was just like, meh.
Whatever.
No, that's... So, you know, Mega Man's in the new Smash Brothers, in case you didn't know. So.
Oh, Iwata. You know what, like Majora's Mask, you could get the boomerang first and then, like, go to the mountain town and then get it gilded and then, like, have an upgradable boomerang? Like, who knows?
Or maybe the boomerang from Twilight Princess, when it's, like, creates the tornado.
Yep.
That could have been something that they would have made a lot, like, back in the day they had thought of.
Yeah. Like, just,
I like so that's it. What I've been doing. What about you, Bailey?
It wasn't part of the summer sale, but I did purchase a little game on Steam a couple weeks ago. It's called Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah.
Been playing a lot of that.
How's that working out for you?
Pretty good. I like it. I think it's a great game. Not greatest of all time, but it's good for me because, to make a long story short, I never owned it. My friend was the one with the PlayStation. Any longtime listeners may have picked that up. That's where I played Twisted Metal series, etc. Like, I'd go over to his house to play. So he had Final Fantasy VII, and I'd sit and watch him play sometimes, or he'd let me play through some parts. So I've never actually seen it from beginning to end as a cohesive experience. So it's actually really cool for me. Like, I'm legitimately seeing some of these things for the first time. That's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing to be nitpicky about that is they didn't fix any of the bugs or anything that was wrong with the game, which, I mean, I guess in the long run, it really doesn't matter because the game is what it is because of its imperfections. Yeah. I mean, I could go on for days about how that can, you know, correlate a very particular series, but usually when it's like things that could almost completely destroy the game, you might want to go back and just make a couple of tweaks here and there, you know. Because, I mean, if you're asking $12 for it, which is great, because if you can find it out and about in the wild, you're looking at least $35 to $45 for the PlayStation 1. And not even, you know, how long that's going to last, because discs scratch really easy, and, you know, this is digital. You're welcome, Jason.
Yeah, that was... I got a golden plat... Oh! What?
See, he's got it.
What?
How much you pay for it?
I got, got something called ODT, Gran Turismo 2, Final Fantasy 7, Final Fantasy Origins, Final Fantasy 8, and a PlayStation 1 and 2 controllers for $20.
This is my mind being blown right now.
That's Borderlands 1. That's what happened in Borderlands 1. Really? How did you get that for $20? Like, who did you kill a homeless person? Or?
Yeah, I viciously murdered a homeless person. No, I was, the girlfriend and I were driving home one day, and some student, because I work at a university and I live nearby, he was clearing out his house he was renting, a room in, and he was like, had a table set up, and said, give me the beer money, and a bunch of items on it. As we're driving by, I'm like, Carly, pull over, it's a PlayStation 1. She's like, how the hell did you spot that from 200 feet? So we pull over, sure enough, it's a PlayStation 1. I'm like, how much do you want for it? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, I'll give you $20. He's like, oh, you don't have to give me that much. I'm like, just take the $20.
Only to live in Canada. Oh no, that's way too much. That's way too much, eh?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So I'm like, just take the $20.
I was just looking for a handshake.
Yeah. Mind you, they're not in the best condition. Like, the cases are cracked and
plastic.
Plastic.
Does the game work?
I don't know. I've never, a new case. I haven't actually plugged the thing in.
I'll buy it from you for $25.
Oh, it also came with Tekken 3.
You
can keep Tekken 3.
$8 for all of it. What is he getting now?
The lid wouldn't close on it, so I'm not sure how functional the unit is.
Nice.
But I took the risk for $20.
Cool. That's probably a risk worth taking.
Yeah.
That said, I've never played Final Fantasy VII on a PlayStation. I've only played the original PC version.
Hmm. Yeah, apparently the Steam version is the PC version, but with updated in-battle protagonist graphics, so...
Yeah, and they've updated it. Like, the original one, once it hit Windows XP, you had to get some complicated hack to make the chocobo racing scene work.
Oh, nice.
Otherwise, it just crashed.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty much.
You leave that up to Squeenix.
Mm-hmm.
Were they Squeenix now by then?
I think they were still just Square back then. I don't know.
Let's let this guy look at his...
No, they had to be Squeenix by then.
It was like 95 or 96 or something like that.
All your base are belong to us.
Speaking of 1996...
Who was talking about 1996?
Yeah, nobody ever said. Oh, he's trying like one of those Bailey segues. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Did it work?
I'm waiting. What? Speaking of...
We've got a listener question.
Oh.
From someone.
Yeah. Are you doing it this
week? Bailey will happily read that.
Oh, hey! Wow, you really were doing it Bailey style, going for the discussion question. That was awesome. All right. Got a listener email discussion question. We like those. Please send us emails at podcast@onemorecastle.com. We will read them on air and discuss it. This one goes like this. So you asked for Sims stories, and I immediately thought of a blog entry by my friend Sarah on Twitter at Hyatt Regency. Yes, it's spelled like it sounds. That she put up in December of 2011. As it turns out, she also put up a similarly themed entry the following year. They are oh so very classic, and I got her permission to share them with you. By the way, quick editor's note, we'll put the links on the podcast page when this is published on onemorecastle.com. The email continues. I think the asking listeners to share their certain game-related stories is a neat move, by the way. Very engaging. If you're hurting for a listener discussion question anytime soon, I've got one. Here, let me just type up a reading out loud on the air friendly version. Hi, fellows. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this. When you have to come up with a name for something in-game, a character, town, save file, high score initials, etc., what is your process? Do you name everything after yourself? Come up with something on the spot? Have favorite choices you use wherever possible? Or keep up the good work? Valerie Minnick, and she's on Twitter at @the_Valerie, and she's my sister, for what it's worth.
Yes, she is. We're all aware. Yeah. We are all aware.
I won't mention
so, that. No.
No system?
Oh, sorry. No. Wait, what?
Oh. You have no system for naming your in-game stuff?
I never use my own name. I mean, like, unless if it's for a high score, then I'll use my own name or my initials, I guess. Or ass. I'll use ass for my initials. Because I'm still one of those guys who finds that funny.
If I was a teenager at the arcade, I liked to pretend that my name was Francis Ulysses Kenmore.
That's a common name. Very put common that name. Up.
Put those initials up at the Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes. Yes. So I've actually got specific names for specific genres of games.
Really?
Yes. When I play like a RPG, hack and slash, turn-based, whatever kind of game like that, and I usually go for whatever the heavy, the tank, cannon character is. And I always call him Goon, because nobody would think that a character named Goon would be that tough to deal with. If I'm playing like in an action-adventure game, I call him Lincoln. So I can call him Link for short. L-I-N-C, Link for short. And like anytime that I have a pet, I just call him Blue. I just think Blue is a funny name for a pet. So, and I always
skip clues.
Yeah, like I always, those are the ones I always stick with. Or unless if it's, you know, like a character, like Final Fantasy's Chronic for, you know, like, do you want to name the character? Because this is what the name was. And I'm like, I'll just go with the name that was. Because, you know, I don't have any connection in these characters. But if it's like completely blank, I'll think of something clever. Or if I know for a fact that it's going to use my name in context, like Link to the Past, I'll name it something completely horrendous and inappropriate for this podcast and probably everybody in 2 square miles, just so I can see it in lights, because that, again, I think that's hilarious.
Saves the world.
That's right. So yeah, that's what I do.
Cool.
Jason.
If I'm
playing a game like Legend of Zelda, I'll just stick to what the character's name is, so it will be Link. I'll say for the last couple years, I've been playing as Richard Nixon.
Right.
Just because.
Yep.
For the longest time, I used Psycho Lamb for everything. That's what happens. That's what happens when you choose a username when you're in grade 6.
Right. Yeah,
and you don't give it up.
That'll do it.
I fell for that.
Yeah. So other than that, most of the time it's arcade game. Just put in Lamb, L-A-M, or lets me for L-A-M-B. But mostly Richard Nixon, sadly.
All right.
Do you have some sort of like connection with him, or some semiotic bond that we're not aware of?
He just appeals to me because he's so absurd. Just Richard Nixon, the human being, is absurd. And he just, if you kill people online playing as Richard Nixon, they get really pissed off.
Oh, I will add this, because I think I've said this before, but I still find it funny. Like, Halo. Like, when you shoot somebody in Halo, it says you were shot by or you were killed by.
Yeah.
Always put a big bear. Yeah. So it says, like, you got shot by a big bear, and I'm just, like, running around. Sorry, that's another one. Sorry, Bailey?
Wow. I'm not nearly as entertaining on this one. For me, it depends. It's contextual on the game world. Hunter brought up, like, in Final Fantasy, it's like, well, you know, my name's Cloud. You can rename me if you want, but I already have, obviously, this big reputation. So I don't dare change his name. Like, it'd be like playing a Mario game and being like, well, my name's Mario, but you could change it. No. I'm cool. Playing a Mario game. I got, you know. But otherwise, I will just name the protagonist Eric. If I don't do it that way.
Oh, you play as me?
Otherwise, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
My whole life I've been playing as you. Thanks, I didn't realize it. Then I met you and it was really surreal. I was like, whoa, this is the guy. This is Eric.
He's really cool. All the girls like you.
Oh, it's so true. Otherwise, I'm just completely random. A good example would be if you look at my Pokemon teams from any Pokemon game. I mean, the nicknames can be anything from mountain ranges to natural disasters to usually one of them is named Bob.
Just for good measure.
You know, Jimmy. Yeah. I like, Jason, you find humor in absurdity in humans. Yeah. I'm kind of the opposite. I find humor in, like, the most ordinary name possible. Like, you spend 36 hours in Pokemon Blue and you finally get to Mewtwo. And you name him Robert.
Or Jim, the hero of time.
Yes, exactly. Thomas. Just ordinary, you know. Or if it looks like something, I used to have a Parasect named Footstool. Just, I don't know. Randomness. That's my story. So, thanks, Valerie, for writing in.
Who is she again?
Yeah, who the hell's that?
She's been following the podcast for a while. She might even be watching the live stream right now.
Nah.
What a weirdo.
Yeah.
Runs in the family. So I've heard.
So have I. From all the voices in my head. Found something, Jason?
I think you found a music break.
Here it is.
We're back. That was B3 by Boxcat Games. Some nice electronica synth action for you. You can download that track on the podcast page. But in the meantime, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Retro Showdown! For anyone who doesn't know, this is the time of the show when each of us has picked a different retro video game in secret. None of us knows what the others have chosen. We're going to have 1 minute to introduce our game, and then we're just going to spend the rest of our podcast arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, or even watcher, if you're catching this on the live stream, get to vote for your favorite in a poll on the podcast page. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you. 2 episodes ago, for episode 42, the theme was hat-wearing protagonists, and the winner was Jason with RBI Baseball, beating out Dick Tracy and Adventures of Yogi Bear. So that's fun. Nice to see Hunter's streak broken.
Yeah.
The juggernaut has fallen.
For now.
But this week we have a new theme for a new showdown. Tonight's theme is unlikely heroes. So in theory, if each of us has followed the theme, each of us has chosen a game that stars a protagonist or multiple protagonists that you wouldn't normally think of as a hero character. So, the unlikely heroes. And traditionally, I do go first, and I am ready, so whenever Jason, our timekeeper, tells me.
All right. Hold on. Are you ready?
Sure. Let's do this.
You may begin.
You know, tonight for unlikely heroes, I took this theme pretty seriously, and I thought, what makes for an unlikely hero? So I went with a combination of being small in stature and not even of a human species. Just someone you wouldn't think of as being a hero. I went back to a classic in my mind. This is Capcom's release from 1990, Disney's Chippendale Rescue Rangers. That's right, two chipmunks, little rodents, thwarting the devious plans of a criminal overlord, defeating their fair share of giant robot enemies and monstrous creatures in a scrolling platformer with innovative mechanics such as an emphasis on picking up objects and throwing them at foes, including two different weight classes for the projectiles and two-player cooperative play. Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
You did it again. You went over.
I didn't! You said time after I said my part. Son of a...
All right.
All right, Hunter, are you ready?
I'm ready.
You may begin.
My pick this week, I went back to David Crane's 1989 A Boy and His Blob, Trouble on Bloblonia for the NES. In this puzzle platformer, you play as an unnamed male protagonist who buddies up with a shape-shifting blob with a love of jelly beans. With these jelly beans, you have the ability to shift the blob state into different items by the different jelly bean tastes, and all in an effort to save his homeland. A Boy and the Blob is also the winner of the 1989 Best of Show at CES and the 1990s Parents' Choice Award. An unexpected hero, a bag full of jelly beans, and Blobbert makes A Boy and His Blob, Trouble on Bloblonia, the perfect choice for this week's showdown.
All right. That's all right. I guess I'll begin. My choice this week is from the Sam and Max series. It's Max, the hyperkinetic 3-foot rabbity thing, who before is being called a Langomorph. Normally stuck with a crazy grin, he's unhinged, he's uninhibited, and he's nearly psychotic. He enjoys problem solving using violence and his aggressive way of solving problems, and is usually used as a prop by his partner, Sam, the anthropomorphic dog. That's Max from the Sam and Max series.
So why would I vote for freedom?
That's all you're going to say about Sam and Max?
I think it says enough about itself.
I don't even know what genre it is.
It's a point-and-click adventure.
That would have been nice to hear during the intro, don't you think?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
All right. You think that reduces your chances of winning the showdown this week?
Honestly, I do.
If I emphasize the fact that it is a point-and-click adventure?
Yeah, I think it might, actually. But don't worry, it's not. I never once said it was a point-and-click adventure during my introduction.
Oh, well. Got me there, Jason.
Yep.
Got me there. Langamorph. Yep.
Anamorphic dog.
A blob.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry, Hunter, a boy and his blob.
Hunter, a shape-shifting alien? That's not an unlikely hero. That's a very likely hero.
No, the boy is the unlikely hero. The blob is the blob hero. Is worthless
no,
without
blob's the hero. Blob's the hero.
No.
Yep.
The blob is worthless without the boy and his jelly beans.
Nobody cares about the boy.
The blob's creepy.
The blob's creepy.
I'm watching a video. That is a creepy blob.
And anamorphic dogs and I don't even know what you'd call the rabbit. Sadistic, conniving, bad mouthed.
Sociopath
doesn't mix well with parents, especially not to get the parents' choice award like my game did. So
the blob is like a horrible bastardization of whatever of Slimer and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Yeah.
Who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters. Yeah, not the blob. You want to kill the blob.
Ghostbusters, yeah.
Oh, am I going to call two chipmunks to try to rescue me? I mean, come on.
Possibly. You wouldn't think so. You'd be like, why would I ever count on a chipmunk? They're just little tiny little rodents. But no, Chip and Dale are like, we're going to save the world. And they do, and it's crazy.
They save their world, not our world.
Live in the same world.
They live in our world.
I didn't see any humans in that game.
Because they were saved and put out of harm's way.
That this game that is...
Wait, why am I defending that?
Super short and really easy.
Why am I defending his game? This is how bad I hate a boy and his blob.
That's pretty bad.
There's no challenge in Chippendale. There's not. Like, it's a very...
Yes, there is.
Super toned down platforming game.
It's not that toned down. It's not as toned down as everyone says it is. It's so fun. Like, so fun.
No, it is toned down. I've played it quite a bit. Immensely, even. And...
As have I!
I don't know. Who is this? Who are you now?
Bailey with a beard. You can call me Beardly.
So, Beardly, if you were going to bring a game to the Retro Showdown about unlikely heroes, not... Two chipmunks who have flying apparatuses and a genius gadget mouse to keep everything up and running. What game would you pick?
Well, let's see here. For the gaming community, I believe the most unlikely heroes would be games that are chosen by parents. Since in gaming culture, typically... Video games are countercultural and have proven to shift various paradigms of acceptable tolerances for topics such as violence, etc. So I believe I'd, for the lamest, most unsuspecting, out of nowhere, no way is this going to be a hero kind of game, I'd look for a game that's won a Parents' Choice Award.
And which game would that be, Beardly?
Oh, you tell me. Can you name, let's say, three games that have won Parents' Choice Awards?
I can name the only one that matters tonight, and that would be A Boy and His Blob.
That's a great example of a game that's just not great.
You do bring up a good point, though. I'm kind of curious of what other games have won the Parents' Choice Award.
I bet you're scared to look it up.
No, I'll look it up right now.
Oh. Really hurt.
It's tearing that off. Oh, this...
Yeah.
This year, Scribblenauts Unlimited won.
Oh, that's a fun game. No?
It's all right. I bought it. I was disappointed.
When are you not disappointed, Jason? You're always disappointed when you have to use a controller. When you got to use your thumb.
This is.
I didn't use a controller.
This is a guy who plays Mega Man. And he's like, eh.
He's
sucks.
A keyboard and mouse.
To play Mega Man?
Scribblenauts. No, to play Scribblenauts.
To play Mega Man?
Yeah, to play Mega Man.
I just want everybody to know that Jason does hate Mega Man.
It's true.
Hey, I bought Mega
Man. Hates Mega Man.
On my 3DS.
Oh?
Buys things he hates.
I haven't played it yet.
Really?
Yeah, really.
So, Sam and Max.
Sam and Max. You are a dog and a rabbit who are detectives and you solve crimes.
Now...
Okay, so you're solving crimes. They had to go through some sort of training or to get a certificate. Do they have any legislation that shows them that they are apt to solving said crimes?
Yeah. Yep. They're they debuted in a comic book from 1987.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And
nobody else can hear that, Bailey.
they're freelance police.
Freelance.
That's what. Yeah, the freelance.
So you've police. Got a you got that? A crackpot rabbit and a
no.
politically well, incorrect yeah, anti-establishment anarchist atheist humanoid dog. Wow. And that is your
That's rough.
That is your team that you're playing with.
Yeah, they're great. Solving crimes.
Am I the only person who is terrified by the two-word phrase freelance police?
Freelance police. It's like that, the classic Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Horrifying.
Same thing.
No, it's not. No, that's... I don't want my police to be freelance. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there.
But they take on jobs that, you know, other people wouldn't.
I think there's that's a lot of people that want to be for. Police. And detectives, there's that have gone through the proper schooling and training to do so.
Yeah, super important.
Like in their original story, they go to the Philippines to stop an angry volcano god.
So they're just tripping on LSD, and they're just sitting in their couch in the living room, and they're thinking that they're detectives solving crimes.
Trick is, you're flipping out on LSD, and you're really just watching a rabbit and a dog thinking they're detectives who go to stop an angry volcano god.
You can disregard this, but I am gonna put this thought out there. They don't really strike me as heroes at all. Just kind of stumbling into situations and maybe making them worse or better.
Nah. No, they are. They're heroes. They're very unlikely heroes, but they're heroes.
I don't know. Bailey brings up a good point. I'm guessing you've played this game, Jason.
I have.
Okay.
I've played games in the series.
Okay. Now, when they find who the guy behind the mask is, how does it end? Like, do the real police come? Or
oh no, they stop them. Like they there's even time travel. There's magic. There's science. There's love. There's hate.
I think you're giving it a little bit too much credit here.
No, it's great. It's better than Rescue Rangers, where you run through kitchens.
No!
Oh, no, I gotta dodge an apple.
You do! You throw the apples. They're huge! Boom! It's not just a kitchen. You run through, like, some guy's backyard, a casino, all sorts of settings.
It just sounds like Pest Simulator.
You climb a tree!
So you're just guiding pests through their daily life.
No, they're killing other animals and robots.
They're evil killing ones. Other animals.
Super killing them.
Wow.
Yes.
That's awful.
Like, I mean, there's this bug that makes you invincible. And while you're invincible, you just go around stinging everything. It's great.
I love how at the end of the levels you go into like holes in the wall, almost like a mouse would.
Yeah. Well, they basically are mice. I mean, chipmunks and mice are really closely related.
I don't think that's true at all.
That depends on how you classify.
Capcom was so worried about this game not succeeding that they printed a coupon on the front of the box to get $10 off any other good Capcom game.
Are you saying this one's not good?
I've played better. Much better Capcom games.
Capcom is a great company with a fantastic library. I think that's a fair statement.
And this one's definitely at the bottom of their list.
No, not at the bottom. No, there's been worse Resident Evil games, honestly.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, Resident Evil's been played out for a while now.
Do you remember the week I brought Little Mermaid?
Yeah, the crappy underwater game, yeah.
Would you say Rescue Rangers is worse than that? Because I wouldn't. I actually prefer Rescue Rangers over Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I'd probably take Chippendale over that. Because I'd rather take a crappy playoff of Super Mario Brothers than a crappy playoff of the worst levels in video game history ever. Yeah, you're right. Definitely would take Chippendale. Not the strippers. The game. Not the Chippendales.
You heard it here, folks.
How does Boy and His Blob not have scrolling levels?
Just like how The Legend of Zelda doesn't have scrolling levels?
Jason.
Yeah?
Scrolling, believe it or not, is actually found by many homebrewers to be rather difficult to do on the NES.
Oh, it is rather difficult to do. I'm just saying that this game was completed in 6 weeks in a guy's basement.
That's why there's no scrolling.
Certainly shows.
Now, was it really his basement?
I agree.
Come on. Let's be realistic here.
Are you saying it was someone else's basement? He hid in someone else's basement for 6 weeks?
I mean, you do what you have to do, right?
Though standard NES games took 6 to 8 months to develop, Imagineering completed A Boy and His Blob in a mere 6 weeks. Crane himself rented a room in a flophouse near his office and put in several 16 to 20 hours days to work on the project.
So it wasn't a basement.
It was a flophouse.
I mean, even modern popular homebrews like Battle Kid and Battle Kid 2 don't have scrolling. Just a funny thing.
But they're good.
Well, if you know exactly how the game's going to work, and you can picture it in your mind, you can see the code flying together, you don't need 6 to 8 months to make a masterpiece.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah, Billy?
Guess what flavor jelly bean you use to make the blob come back to you. Like, if you lose track of them, you need them to catch up with you, guess what flavor
I'm
going to
say grape.
Nope.
Ketchup.
Yeah. A ketchup jelly bean.
That is correct.
Get it? Because...
Oh, because he's catching up.
Catches. Ah, yeah. That's
clever.
It.
Yeah, the punch jelly bean makes holes in the floor.
Ah, yep. Oh. They're all plays on words.
Yep. That's
the
tangerine is a trampoline.
There you go.
Yes.
The licorice is a ladder.
It kinda doesn't quite rhyme. Licorice and ladder both start with the same letter, I guess.
Well, I mean, punch and hole don't correlate.
Well, that's cool. That's using a noun and verbifying it.
This is awful.
Verbifying it?
I just verbified the word verbify.
I love verbifying things.
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I.
So we've got a tired, awful rendition of Super Mario Brothers, which is Chippendale. Come on, man. You have to admit, the platforming is pretty... It's definitely not up to par, especially with the late year that it came out and it had all those other platforming games to just copy and clone, and they decided to make their own, and it was awful.
Name one Super Mario Brothers game between the 8, 16, or 64-bit eras in which the first and second player could play on screen at the same time.
None of them.
For all that Rescue Rangers, you can. You can play two players simultaneous on screen. A lot of fun.
You can do that in Contra.
Right, and Contra's an awesome game.
You can also do that in Tiny Toon's Adventures.
Really?
I think so. Can't you? No, sure. I take that back. That's sure not that true. One? I take that back.
You can't do that in Tiny Toon's.
That would have been cool though, right?
That would have been pretty cool. Neat. Those are some enormous character sprites. For
yeah, that's huge. But, I mean, Mario's a single-player game. It's meant to be a single-player experience.
And Rescue Rangers can be experienced with a friend.
Oh,
it's just like any of
okay.
Most.
Okay. Well, let's do this then.
Moments.
Can you name another platformer that's co-op? Like a straight up like Mario's kind of platformer.
No, I think it's unique. I think it's the best game of all time.
Is that what it is? Because it's unique, it makes it
two player co-op platforming realm. No, I take it back. Rescue Rangers 2, you can also. You can. Rescue Rangers 2.
Your time is up. Your time is up.
It
doesn't work. It doesn't work. And Chippendale's Rescue Rangers proved that. And Capcom knew that. So they had to put the coupon on there.
Yeah.
So you could go out and buy something better, like, I don't know, Sam and Max or even a boy in his blob.
I have a great question for you on that, Hunter. Why doesn't it work? Why? What makes you say it doesn't work?
It's confusing. It can be confusing.
Okay, would that make the game difficult?
Can I finish?
Sure.
Can I finish?
Waiting on it. Can you?
The second player is kind of null and void, because in most platforming games, you stomp on enemies. That's kind of the platforming trope. And if one of the players is out front and stomps on the enemy, there's nothing for player two to do. Now, with Contra in particular, they bring enemies from the left-hand side of the screen, or from the opposite side of the screen than the direction that you're going in, allowing the player in the back to be able to have some sort of action in the game. Whereas in with a platformer, especially in Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, if player one is 20 pixels ahead of player two is not going to be doing anything but just jumping. There's no action. There's no items, because player one's going to get them all.
So it sounds like it would be challenging.
It sounds like it's boring. That's almost fun. As boring as Sam and Max.
No, you know what? I just want to know how a boy in his blob manages to make a Commodore 64 game look good.
You don't like the Commodore 64?
No, I love the Commodore 64. But your game's uglier than the Commodore 64 games.
No, man. Those backgrounds are awesome. That opening scene, when you see the background of the city, that's some killer sprite work there.
I don't know about that. There's some ugly level scenes.
Most of it's just black emptiness.
When you actually make it to Blobalonia, can we talk about the farm with the corn stalks going on? There's some...
You guys don't like corn?
The guy who was staying up at 4 a.m. doing the pixel art maybe should have... had someone else do the pixel
art. Yeah, should have gotten some sleep.
Should have gotten some sleep or actually hired an artist. Wow.
And there you go. So why is your point-and-click game so bad, Jason?
Yeah, why does your game suck, Jason?
Because it's gotten a lot of slack from some of the audio sound bits that are in the game.
How so?
Just with some of the anti-religious things that he says and some of the very outlandish... political views that he has. It's kind of, yeah. It's out there, man. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah. Well, he's an out there character.
Well, I don't want politics in my video games.
I don't really want religion in my video games.
I don't want either.
I don't want blobs.
I don't want...
Sounds like the vote this week is clear. Rescue Rangers. No blobs, no religion, no politics.
Oh, there's got to be something political about that game. Oh, are you kidding me? It's hugely political. Oh, I just got this. The enemy that you fight, the main boss, his name is Fat Cat, which is an overused trope for somebody who has lots of money, who puts pressure on poverty and people who are stricken to be homeless and jobless and without food, and he just keeps his money-grubbing hands greasy. Fat Cat. There's your politics, okay. Bailey.
Isn't the term overused trope kind of redundant?
Well, so is saying irregardless, but it's still considered a word according to Webster's Dictionary.
Well, so is hunter, one who hunts. It's a totally a word.
That's
my last name's not a word, but Jason Lamb
yeah.
is a word.
Lamb,
he was once a sheep so many years ago. That's so cute, too. You're so cute, Jason.
Oh, thanks.
So cute.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Look at him. Look at him with his lammy little face. Whoa.
He's got a killer profile. Jason, show your profile.
The massive?
No, the other one. Go the other way. There you go. Doesn't he look like... He looks like some actor, and I can't place it.
Can you hold the pose for like 3 seconds?
What, just continue looking this way?
You gotta keep talking too, so the camera stays on you.
Okay, so the camera goes to me? Just gotta keep
talking?
Yeah,
doesn't okay. He? I kinda see
yeah.
it too.
Like a Bill Hader.
Who is that?
No.
I get Bill Hader
a lot.
I like
Bill Hader, though. I like Bill Hader. Yeah. I don't think it looks like Bill Hader.
We'll figure it out later. Like while we're not playing your crappy game.
These bastards. The hell was that?
I don't know.
No one's going to hear that on the audio recording.
I accidentally clicked it.
It's just like epic boom.
Right. It's actually called drama.
It was fairly dramatic. For those of you listening to the audio one, he's repeatedly mashing something that kind of sounds like a drunken Inception noise.
This is what we call when Bailey's just jerking around.
And final arguments. Jason, why should anyone vote for your crappy point-and-click adventure game?
It has no blobs. It has a crazy rabbit. It's Sam and Max.
Hunter, why should anyone vote for your crappy blob game?
You should vote for a boy and his blob and trouble on Bloblonia. Because for one, my choice was the only game that was deemed worthy of a complete overhaul for the Nintendo Wii, and two, it's a extremely fun puzzling platforming game that a lot of these kinds of genre games just don't exist anymore. A boy and his blob.
That's a stretch. You should vote for my game because it's fun. About a million times more fast-paced than either of my co-host games. And it's classic Capcom 8-bit Nintendo Disney fun. You can't go wrong with Rescue Rangers. You really can't. And that's the showdown. My Twitter shout-out this week goes to Night Dreamer. I'm not even sure what's going on with Night Dreamer on Twitter. But check it out. Night Dreamer, NightDreamer. Retro gamer, but secretly, just Night Dreamer. Check him out.
I'm going to give a shout out to,
cool.
Hunter, you get a shout out.
Well, what'd I do? Really, Bailey?
You were just, really, Bailey. The damn Inception noise. That's not Inception.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, Bailey.
I thought it was pretty epic.
I'm gonna give Hunter two shoutouts because I was gonna give Bailey one, but I'm taking it away.
Oh.
I'm
ouch.
Taking it away.
It's gone. It's not coming back.
That hurts. Hunter, you have any shoutouts?
I do. I want to give a shout out to Mr. Ryan Bunting. I think is his last name, from Retro Rampage.
Yeah.
One big reason why is because he's a cool dude. We'll play Steam games every once in a while as he crushes me in said Steam games. And he's actually working on a bullet hell shoot 'em up game called Gunbeam that I am extremely excited about and happy to be a part of. So,
sweet.
Mr. Ryan Bunting, if I could find your Twitter. Hey, I found it. The Retro Rampage. Is at Twitter. So
they have a solid YouTube channel also.
They do. The Jersey really comes through. Like it's Jersey.
Yes, it does. Very Jersey. And they're very open about how Jersey they are, which is fun. My reminder for listeners this week, you know how to email us. I'm going to encourage you to leave comments on the page. I want to challenge you this week. If you like One More Podcastle, recommend it to a friend.
Yeah.
If you know people who play retro games, tell them about this podcast. I would like to spread the word and increase our listenership. And certainly I take measures to do that, but I'm just encouraging you, listeners. Tell someone else about it. Go ahead. You have my permission. Ding it up.
Dang.
Dang. I think that's about it.
Okay. Well, what do we do now?
Well, do you want to tell them your Twitter thingers?
Yeah, I can do that. So you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My blog is ericmhunter.net. I write the Black Tie Event Presents over at the official VGHC.com. And I also have a indie game review blog called I Am Eric M, where I review indie games in the mindset of a retro console gamer. So with the Steam sale up and running, check out the blog.
There you go. Jason, what are you doing?
Nothing. You follow me on Twitter at Jason
Lamb. Nothing. I'm not doing anything. Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. I'll say stuff.
You do. Cool. You do say well. Stuff. That's true.
I do.
Yeah. He's a good guy. You can follow me on Twitter at Nintendo_Legend. The blog, NintendoLegend.com, is where I review NES games. Been on hiatus for a few weeks, but updates are returning next week. I promise my life is getting a little less crazy. I had a weird week. And listeners, just one last thing I'd like to remind you. You are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!